This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I think it's fair to say an up and down road. A lot of promises here, starting 2-0 with an offense that looked electric. And then just injury upon injury. You looked out on the field yesterday in that loss to the Carolina Panthers. There was practice squad players out there you've never heard of. Chris Olave goes out early in the game. It's like Dennis Allen never had the roster he wanted, never seemed to have the starting lineup he wanted. It all led to a long losing streak, and now his firing.
I mean, never? How long should he get? Sometimes. Ian Rappaport, Dennis Allen, fired by the Saints, 43 games, 18-25. They do have injuries. He's not wrong, but what? It's just like, he didn't have a chance? I don't know. I don't really think so. To me, this was just like always going to happen, but.
Yeah, they were. It was kind of shocking that they were as good as they were the first couple of weeks and probably not realistically sustainable. I guess we'll never know because they did really get annihilated by injuries. Like their offensive line just got wrecked and other stuff too. But that I think was
a lot of those guys are back.
Big problem. Yeah, they are now. Yeah.
Some of them, I guess. But yeah, well, 2-7 doesn't really matter how.
Right. After here you are.
Third year makes you wonder about the Giants. Last week I mentioned that I wonder how much time Daboll has left. But there was another so-called vote of confidence there. They lose at home to Washington. We know this life. I mean, one of the worst things about being the Giants would be that Washington is 7-2. Like, where do they come from? What right does Washington have to be? Philadelphia, sure. Right. Dallas, okay. I'm used to that. Washington now? I mean, it's like watching, I don't know if Ottawa.
Right, that works.
Makes the playoffs.
Right.
Like, what? You cut the line. You cut the line. Right. I was at the front of this line.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that works as a comparison, I think. Yeah, so what? Yeah. I mean, the Giants, maybe they got to let those people pick their own guy, maybe? I don't know. It's just going to be tough. The conversation last week was, from my end anyway, was largely, I have a hard time imagining ownership appreciating Daboll's style. I just think he's very, I don't know, he's just kind of unkempt.
Angry?
Yeah, angry. Maybe. And boisterous. He's like, he's the guy at the party that everyone's like turning their, who's that? And who's that making them, who's raising a ruckus over there? He's a ruckus raiser. And I don't know, the Giants strike me as a pretty conservative, buttoned-up organization. So,
well, they're off to Germany to play Carolina this week, so get ready for that. Germany. Football Monday on WGR, the story of yesterday's game. Ultimately, Tyler Bass, I think, becomes the story of the game. And it's easy and it's popular, it's common for anybody to think that they would know kind of his emotions and what his confidence was at, just basically taking it from whether he's making or missing, you know, that you would think, you might think, people talk like they know what kind of where he's at mentally, you know, game to game or even kick to kick. And that, of course, that came up on postgame yesterday. A caller mentioned it. And I would just say again, I don't know who really does know that, you know, other than Bass himself and maybe a couple of people in his life.
Sure, like whoever he talks to about, you know, analyzing the kicks he makes and misses, and even in practice, like, you know, what's your swing like, what's your approach like, whatever, the technical analysis that would, whoever is in charge of that and consults with him on that would know. I would think that's the kind of person you'd be confiding in, like, I just don't feel good. I don't, you know, how am I, you know, this step or just something. But yeah, it's a very small circle of people that would know.
You wouldn't want, if you're Bass, you would not want to admit that to very many people, right?
No, like, right.
In the office. If you're struggling right. with your confidence, that might be the last thing they need to hear mm-hmm. before making a move. Because then they might think that I can't trust this anymore. So that's complicated too. Like, you sort of have to put, if he was, he probably was, I mean, it's loud out here. He probably was listening, hearing, you know, criticism and mm-hmm. maybe a lack of confidence, whatever, however close that got to him.
He would obviously know that they brought a guy in to compete with
right.
him. I mean, there's no, even if you're, you know, able to numb yourself to all the noise out here, that was inescapable. You're coming to work and there's another car parked in the kicker section. You know, like, okay, right. I don't think they actually have a kicker section of the parking lot, but just work with me. You know, just that's a dude. Okay. Am I shook by this? Am I going to try harder because of this? These are all things we guess at. And what ended up happening is, you know, they needed, obviously, that kick. They didn't have to try it. I mean, it was a very long kick for him. And I don't know that every fan watching absolutely expected them to try the kick. I know I did, but it wasn't a no-brainer, but they did, and he made it, and now you just hope, like, all of that stuff is packed up somewhere and left behind, because you just made a huge kick, and you had this moment of redemption with your teammates. Like, not, you know, not that anything he's done has really cost them severely, it's more just the optics of he's missing these kicks. And what if he, you know, really the KC one last year is where you all you need to look at. What a huge kick with big impact that was that he missed. You know, now he's got to feel like at least like I did my part. You know, they stuck by me. However shaky it's been with this practice squad guy, I still got the job and I've come through. And, you know, hopefully he can, like, ride the wind of that right through the rest of the season and, you know, maybe even his whole career. I don't know, but we'll never really know. I doubt maybe years later he'll
yeah.
tell you, like, you know, if they win a championship or something and he gets to write a book about what the struggle was like in October and November of the 24 season. But we probably will never have any idea.
There's a lot you can really say about it. You know, Sean McDermott or almost any NFL head coach, what particular skills do they have when it comes to coaching up kickers? You know, kickers are just different from the rest of the team. You know, you try to get guys to run through the wall, right? But your kicker, maybe you just don't bother. You leave him alone. He's got a special teams coordinator, or probably they have three or four other assistants who might be mm-hmm. that would kind of work with the kicker, either it's technical or just mental. McDermott, I thought, this is one, the postgame show when you stay home is one where, like, you and I can't talk as much about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Like the press conferences, for one thing, and certain things about the game. I thought McDermott was very happy with himself about Bass. He, of course, and I don't think he didn't mean it, was sure to say a few different times how happy he was for Bass, but he was also happy for himself. He admitted, like, now I don't get to have to be asked these questions about him anymore. And the decision to kick it, we did a little bit yesterday on kind of the math there. With 10 seconds to go, what are you facing if he misses? You're facing probably a Hail Mary. And I know the Bills have given up a Hail Mary or two, but it's not like they had 20 seconds even.
Right. 5 seconds is what's left on the clock after that kick. So I assume it's 5 seconds. You know, if he misses it, it's 5 seconds. And they've got the ball at, what, your 49-yard line. I don't really think that there's confidently – you could try – a 4-second play and call timeout quickly. Like, just something, so the quickest pass you've ever seen to pick up, you know, I don't know, a few more yards, because from there, you're talking about a kick that I just don't even think is worth trying. I mean, I suppose with 1 second on the clock, you try anything. But you probably would want to get at least 5 or 6 yards there. I don't know if there was time to do it. So I don't know that the floor was falling out from underneath McDermott on choosing to kick it there. I don't think they're in a bet, you know, unless you're really scared of the Hail Mary, which you could choose to be because they did just give one up a couple weeks ago, but, you know, fine. Most likely you're going to overtime if he doesn't make the kick. I don't think where you are hurts you, but I do think what could have hurt him if the kick was missed is the way the Bills played the end of that drive leading up to the kick, because they had no timeouts left. And McDermott chose to use a timeout on a challenge on a fourth down play by Tua that was ruled a first down initially. And I didn't think it was worth challenging. It wasn't a blowout, but I didn't think it was worth it. And he cost them a timeout there. And, you know, that's very tough. They went into that drive with one timeout. And then I think Allen got sacked and they had to use it. And that was it. So I think that kick doesn't go through. They win anyway. It probably is still like this conversation we're having right now. Like, nobody's really hot about it.
But, man, I don't know.
It was close.
I don't know.
It was close to being a real trouble spot, I think, for him.
Well, you think about, maybe you'll remember the details right off. Philadelphia last year. What was the problem? So there was a kneel down at the end of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something more. There was more than that.
Well, he used a timeout to ice the kicker.
Okay.
When he kicked the 59-yard winning or tying field goal.
What?
So he burned one. They got the ball back with 20 seconds left and either only had one timeout or no timeouts. I don't remember.
Okay.
I have to look up the play-by-play. But he burned a timeout there and got the ball back after the tying field goal and just coaching the team that was victimized by 13 seconds, sat on it, and that was the end of the... So I think sitting on it was precipitated by burning the timeout to ice the kicker. If you had the timeout in your pocket, you could have maybe tried to do something there. And that
okay.
was what really set me off on that game.
And you were not alone. I mean,
right.
That game, that example came up all offseason on the subject of McDermott. But I would just say, how bad is that really? You know, like, how many coaches would have done the same thing? More than half? Where people actually believe in icing the kicker. They don't want to see the data on that. It's sort of a logical instinct. Coaches feeling like this is how they sort of deserve to get paid to be coaches, by doing things like calling timeout before your field goal. Like, somehow that's going to work. And then kneeling at that spot, also, that's not that uncommon. So I guess I'm saying like that about this here, where it's there and you say, well, if they lose the game, how big of a topic is that? How even much different is that from Philadelphia? It's kind of still one where you really have to squint. Like, okay. I mean, the casual fan is just not going to really care about those kind of details. And that's not to say that it's wrong to, but it's like, oh, well. Okay, I get it. Sure, you could have done something else here.
Yeah.
And that would have been yesterday, too. I think even maybe more interesting on that field goal yesterday is that it was supposed to be too far. And McDermott did a thing, too, about how he watched the warm-up, and even though somebody thought it was too far, he decided it wasn't. Like, he was really pumping himself up about this kick. And if he misses, there's not only what matters more, I think, probably, should be, is what happens to the game, happens to the outcome of the game, but you have just one more on the pile with Bass.
Right.
Because you're giving him one that he's not supposed to be able to make. But he does. I mean, it's like a double win. Because you maybe, if you will, I say maybe, save him.
You save him, and you don't have another log on your time management fire to go along with all the other, the other ones. It would have been another one of those that would just fall out of anyone's mouth when they're making the case for, like, why this guy is so flawed. He's just never going to get there for you. Like, here's an example. And, those aren't all direct correlation, smoking gun type. Even the Philly thing that I was upset about. Like, you could try to move the ball there late with 20 seconds or whatever it was left to go and get nowhere. And, so who cares? Like, none of this was a guarantee. It's just the choices in the moment. What are we doing here? And I don't know. I just didn't. I did not like the challenge at all.
Then there's Houston, where they did the more aggressive thing right at the end of the game, and that didn't work. So, I just think, too, for all the years of talking about these kinds of things, most coaches kind of give – there are one or two debatable, at best, decisions in games, and whoever loses is going to hear about it, right? And this team is just, back to where we started, just not done that much losing.
Whoever loses is going to hear about it, or if the coach is in deep enough, you're going to hear about it even though you won. See the Eagles and Nick Sirianni today. Because there's a lot, and I don't have the detail. I was kind of in and out of that game, like red zone only. So I don't know, but I just know there was a lot of reference to, like, what is he doing over there with the fourth down stuff? And I don't even know if I agree with that take. Like, that's how little I know about the detail. I just know that
you can win and still get.
He's getting smacked around today for some stuff.
Well, hopefully he has good support. Or just a wonky Wi-Fi, so he doesn't know. Eric Wood at 4-803-0550. For us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.